and muscles and bones, ligaments and organs that are all designed to connect with each other and work together well, the family of God is composed in much the same manner. No member properly functions in isolation, detached from the rest of the body, just as a person's lungs cannot be removed, placed in a different room, and hope to work for me. The health of the body is dependent on members ministering and loving each other. Isn't the human body truly amazing? I mean, it's just a miracle of life. There's all this stuff going on all the time, every day, that we don't even think about. There's an interconnectedness of individual, a light. Thank you. There's all these separate little connections that are going on all the time. You think about your muscles, ligaments. What's going on there? Well, every morning when you get up, you and I, we don't really think about that unless something's hurting. Then we think about it. But most of the time we just get up, we haven't trained ourselves to say, all right, muscles work, get up. Ligaments, add some help here. Lift that leg and get out of bed. It doesn't work that way. And yet, you know what? That small group that are interrelated are all working together to get things moving. How about the blood system? There's another small group, really important group. The blood, the arteries, moving all the time. They better or we're hurting. And yet we don't think about it, but there's a small group connected to each other to help the whole body be healthy and grow. The human, God has done such a beautiful, amazing job in creating the human body. All systems working together to make me healthy enough to face a new day and to get going. Same is true in the family here. This is when we meet together as a group, and week to week we have a great time, and we've been singing and praying and thinking and honoring and worshiping God here this morning. But in the midst of that assembly are lots of connect groups, lots of small groups connected with each other because they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to see the health of the body grow because we have more and more of those small groups. The New Testament word for that is koinonia. It means communion or intimate communication or partnership. That's what the Greeks had in mind. God designed his people to connect with him and each other. And Jesus modeled it, as we looked at two Sundays ago, by calling his first connect group together. You, Peter, come with me. Follow me. We're going to get together. We're going to grow together. Andrew, you come with me. And he formed an impressive little group that began to meet separately from all the other functions and grow together as men, loving, learning all about Christ. And then, as was demonstrated last Sunday morning, God has designed, he has created us for connections. It's the way everything works the best, when we are connected to each other and to him. You heard this a year ago, I think. I think it is so appropriate this morning. I'm going to reread this for you. It's in a book by Bruce Larson called Dare to Live Now. Listen, the neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is to close connections and the kind of koinonia that God wants to give his church. All right? It's an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable and democratic. You can tell people secrets there, and they usually don't tell others or even want to. In part, the local bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved, and be understood by somebody. Those are really the dynamics that are going on all the time in our community and so many different connections. How come it isn't modeled best right here? That's what God wants. The wonder of the church is that that very thing can happen as God has created us to connect with each other. Every week, all the time. If we're open to it, if we're looking for it, if we want to serve in it, if we want to be a part of it, we can be connected to others. And what we are suggesting these days, and I am passionate about right now, is seeing our church grow by connecting to God and each other. I want to see everybody involved that wants to be involved. And I'm talking about, you know, real authentic sharing and communion. A setting where you can actually bring up something like Fred and Sharon brought up in a small group. And know there's people there that will understand that, will care about that, will listen to them and gather around them and pray about that. That's what connection is really all about. Believers have a partnership and there is something to share. And I'm convinced you can't do that well here. You need a small group of friends you're trusting, learning, growing with. John wrote this. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. Now, where did he see that and where did he hear that? Well, there were a lot of events because he wrote about a lot of those events. But many of them occurred in his small group. When he was with other guys and they were taking prayer requests and talking about issues and Jesus was teaching them. And they were talking about this and that and growing together. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. John relates the gospel to what he personally experienced. He tells of his relationship with Jesus. And he does that because the gospel is the basis of connection. He's telling us, in effect, I want you to know the same God. I want you to know the same Christ that I know and I learned all about in my small group. I want that for you. I want to have you understand that that connection is with others. And most important of all, it's with my Father and His Son. This amazing and beautiful relationship is what Christ enjoyed with them on earth. And it was not meant to be limited to them, but was intended to be extended to all of us here in the family of God, even this one we call Mountain View. And it's precisely what I wish for you this morning. I'm asking you to come with me these days on the great adventure of meeting some new friends, of growing together with another brother and sister that maybe you don't really know yet, that you don't really have a heart for yet. You saw them on Sunday and you said good morning. You never really learned their name. But maybe you can connect with them and you can grow to share some things together. This morning I want to introduce something we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks together, some what we're calling connection points. Because this is so good this morning and it's so healthy for us, but what is it that connects us when we're in a small group? Number one, confessing our sins to one another. James 5:16 contains this command, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Can you imagine the depth of honesty and authenticity that would result if believers could really openly share their struggles and their sins or their failures, if we were real with others. When you're real with someone like that and there is this growing trust level, then you often discover that they're going through some of the same stuff I am. And I never knew that. Why, they look perfect at church, but they're struggling too. Too often it seems we as Christians put sort of a glass bubble around ourselves and we want to at least appear, don't we, most of the time as super saints and, in my case, pastoral. Whatever that is. That's a scary thing. We got to look a certain way. Everybody's better when we do that. We're all right. We're okay. We're calm. We're super. As if we don't have a problem in the world. We are not willing to share openly, to expose our failures and sins in almost any other context. At some point, even though this is so good, there has to be an opportunity for you and me to break through our isolation, crucify our egos, and begin to share and confess our sins with each other. There is no priesthood in the body except the priesthood of all believers. I believe that. Confession of sins is one believer confessing to another, not publicly. It's not announced in church. It certainly better not be printed in the bulletin. No, it happens between you and me. When we learn to love each other and trust each other and feel good about each other, and we get together and we say, I'm sorry, I want to confess something. It's been on my heart. It's been on my mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That only happens in the context of a small team that I have earned trust and care. It almost never happens here. I've said it so many times that I just love Sunday morning. I kind of look forward to it all week long, really. I'm so glad I do. But it's largely because of you. Because you are here and I get to see you and we get to catch up a little bit. And, oh, that's right. Oh, here they are. This is good. Oh, how you doing? Good, good, good. Not so good. Oh, dear. And I don't have much of an opportunity when you say that to me to do much about it because we're looking at somebody else and we're looking at, we got to get things rolling. And we may even forget that special thought you brought up to us. But then when you get in that small group on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday, you can open up your heart and you can ask somebody to really pray for a special need of your heart. You can confess to one another, as James said. Confess to one another. I mean, what did he mean by that? I can't see it happening here. I suggest that James meant somewhere where you know a brother and you know a sister and you come to love them and appreciate them, you can open up your heart and say, I have something on my heart to confess. You can do that. You can do that. Here's another one. Forgiving one another. Some Christians find it very, very difficult to forgive others. But all believers are commanded to forgive. Nevertheless, we've all heard somebody say, well, if he ever did that to me, I'd never forgive him. Well, that attitude is unworthy of a Christian. We should never hold a sin over a fellow believer's head for the rest of his or her life. Now, if you have a Bible, will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, please? You might even memorize this. Some of you have. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. When Christians sin, they have enough problems with the consequences of that sin without Christians holding that sin over them. None of the other Christians are to go to them and forgive them. We find it true here in Ephesians. We certainly find it true in many of the books in the Scripture. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now listen, no one deserves to be forgiven by God. No one here deserves to be forgiven by God, and yet we have. Therefore, it is not right to accept Christ's forgiveness and then refuse to extend forgiveness to my friend. To my friend. That's the point of Ephesians 4:30. Love this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. God just weeps when things aren't right. In his family. Oh, it hurts him. It grieved. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away along with all malice. And here it is. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. We've been commanded to do that. It's a connection point. Forgiveness balances the confession, doesn't it? When another believer confesses his or her sin to you, you are to forgive. If someone says, you know what, Pastor, I have had something against you for 10 years. That's happened. It's happened. It hurts. My proper response is one thing. I forgive you. Not to detail it. It's not to figure it all out. I even got a call like that, didn't I, from somebody outside this church. I've had something against you for 10 years. Will you forgive me? And my nature was this. Wait. Start to explain this thing, figure this thing out, and talk with them about it. You didn't hear me. Do you forgive me? Yes. Now we can talk. Forgiveness. When there is that kind of mutual care in a small group setting, where everyone grows, and in time, all relationships deepen. It just doesn't happen here. Because here is a different context, isn't it? But I tell you, it does happen there. It's happened many times in small groups I've been a part of. It's healthy. I'm asking you to come with me. I'm asking you to find a group like that. We're going to help you find a group like that. It's the beginning of a long process, but an exciting process to put people together in small groups that can grow and love and pray and confess and even forgive. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. If you don't have that, you need that. According to this book, you need that. If it doesn't happen, it needs to happen. I know that it's time-consuming because it has been for me. I know that. I'm currently in, several. If you expand the definition a little bit, small groups I'm in. I'm in a bunch of them, really, but I think about three that are formed as connect groups where we have a special purpose, and there we are together thinking, talking, praying, growing, weeping, laughing. It takes a lot of time. There is a bit of a risk, isn't there? This is so much safer to remain on that level of how are you? Fine, good, God bless you. Hope to see you next week. And mean it, and sweet, and good. But you didn't hear my heart, and I didn't hear yours. I just tried to catch a name. That's about all I could do. But you got an ache there somewhere. You got someone's hurting. And you'll carry that with all week long. Church was never intended to be a place where we just come in and a lonely person enters in, sits down, listens, and then walks out lonely. It's really designed that we come in together and we connect somehow. And a little bit of that can happen here, I understand. I love it. We try to catch each other's needs, but most of it is going to be in a smaller group. I know it's time-consuming. I know there's a risk. I tell you, in my life, it's been worth it. And I'd love to see you become a part of that. Forgiveness and kindness and mercy are words that are talked about all through the Scripture that I'm supposed to focus on. And really what we're saying when we say things like confession and forgiveness and prayer is that we're wanting to participate in what God is participating in. Because He is merciful. And He is holy. And He is caring. And He is forgiving. So I want to participate in what God is all involved. I want to do what He's doing. I want to connect with Him. I want to do that and share that and be that with others in His family. I want brothers and sisters who can listen to me and help me and grow with me. It's wanting to participate in what God wants from us, most of all, that His family, every time He talks about the body of Christ and how it all works, seems to indicate to me that there's all this interconnectedness going on. And that's how it works and that's how it grows. Now, I guess we have a choice, don't we? We could certainly walk out of here this morning and totally ignore it and decide, you know what? In many ways, in my heart, I will just remain isolated, stubborn. I'll choose to be hard-hearted. I don't care. Or we can say, God, help me be what You are. Do what You do. Participate in who You are all the time by being forgiving and open and caring and sharing and loving and prayerful, all in the context of a small group. Do you have one? If you don't have one, I say it is so valuable. Do it. The human body is a complex organism. Just crazy. And I don't know about you, but when I got up, I didn't think about anything going on inside, except to try to work on some things outside which really needed work. But there was all this stuff happening that I didn't even think about. Lord God, I didn't even thank You for. There were systems happening that I didn't even realize. I forgot that again. But thank You for that connectedness that was in this body, making it work so I could come here this morning and see You and You and You. The same thing works in the body of Christ. We see each other and we need to be connected in smaller ways. I want to be connected with you and you and you. I really do. I have a heart that wants to make some new connections. Because I don't feel like we know each other very well. If I had the opportunity, I'd be in 40 connect groups. Totally ridiculous. Doesn't work. But wouldn't that be great? We could just pick out, you know, I don't know you very well. Let's form a group. You and you and you. Okay? Dory, what do you think? Oh, wait a minute. You know, that's how it could work, but I can't. But you can be in something. You can be connected to brothers and sisters somehow, somewhere. We're going to make that clear. We're going to make those opportunities available to you in a warm and exciting way in the next few Sundays, and then really over the course of this next year, to plug you and you and you and you in a small group where you can connect and grow and maybe even confess and forgive and certainly pray. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your small group. Jesus, we learned a lot about those guys in the New Testament, and we found out as we read it, we know that it was so valuable to everybody and valuable to you. There were moments that were difficult, of course. There were times when that group pulled together, and there were times when they walked away from each other and denied whatever was going on. But they came back together, and you made that possible, and you connected them. I love that, Father, about you and your modeling of that for us. Help us consider that kind of connection with you and others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I would like you to